Today, on Downtown Dialogue, I'm joined by two people who bring really interesting perspectives to the conversation about the future of St. Petersburg. This is Karen Carmichael. Mac Feldman is Vice President of Asset Management at Feldman Equities, where he oversees the company's office portfolio, including leasing, property management, and construction. He's also Vice Chair of the Executive Committee of the St. Petersburg Downtown Partnership and serves on the board of Yes in My Backyard, St. Pete, where he advocates for land use reforms aimed at improving housing affordability. Jason Mathis is the CEO of the St. Petersburg Downtown Partnership. Regular listeners will remember that Jason has been a leading voice in shaping the conversation around downtown St. Pete, working with businesses, residents, community leaders, and the city to help create a vibrant and thriving downtown. Together, Mac and Jason bring experience in real estate, economic development, public policy, and community leadership. So today, we're going to talk about some ideas around the current street plan of downtown St. Petersburg, how changes in this plan could affect the future of downtown development, and some of the challenges and opportunities connected with these proposed changes. Jason, Mac, thanks for joining me today.
Always a pleasure to be here with you.
Thanks for having us, Karen.
So, Mac, for residents who may not be familiar with the A and B Street designations, what do those designations mean and why were they created?
Sure. So, in the land use regulations, which basically tell a developer in the future what they can and can't build and where they can and can't build, whatever that is. And so that can be governed by things like height. It can say how big the building needs to be. But importantly, it also regulates what we call uses. So think apartments versus hotels versus office buildings. What the city decided a long time ago is that in order to have a well-functioning downtown, we have to have a mix of all of those different types of uses. Not just apartments, not just hotels, certainly not just office buildings. Mm-hmm. You have to have a mix of all of these things. But when it comes to market realities, and a lot of times, developers only know how to do one thing really well. Mm-hmm. Most developers, they only do apartments, or they only do hotels, or they only do retail, shops and restaurants. Even within retail, it's highly bifurcated. So what the city decided was, okay, well, if we're going to have a developer put a big hotel or big apartment building or big mm-hmm. office building in certain parts of our downtown, we need to mandate, require that they also include what the city deems pedestrian-oriented uses. And that's the actual term in the text of the code. Mm-hmm. Pedestrian-oriented uses is what you would think. Basically, anything you as someone walking by can interact with. So mm-hmm. shops, restaurants, a bar, even residential lobbies and hotel lobbies count towards that. What doesn't count as a pedestrian-oriented use is something like an apartment that is only privately available or a fitness center on the ground floor of a building that is not available to the public. Mm-hmm. The idea here is we want to have an activated pedestrian corridor so that when you're walking down, think a street like Central Avenue or Beach Drive, mm-hmm. you see a lot of activity, there's servers going across back and forth on the sidewalk. It creates that sense of place that is critical to a downtown success. And there's lots of examples of downtowns that did not do this correctly. I think St. Pete did a pretty good job.
So what's the difference between an A street and a B street in terms of what can happen along the street then? Particularly like the types of businesses, the activities on street level. You just mentioned some of them.
Sure. So the A streets are things like Central Avenue, Beach Drive, the eastern portions of 2nd Avenue North, and some eastern portions of 1st Ave South and 1st Ave North. And on an A street, if you're a developer, 75% of your frontage on that A street, so say Central Avenue, must be a pedestrian-oriented use in order for your project to get approved. So that's, again, that's shops, restaurants, museums, really anything that a pedestrian can walk into. A B street says 20% of your frontage has to be some sort of pedestrian use. So that means that the other 80% could be things like garage ramps or apartments or really stuff that doesn't add much to the pedestrian experience walking down that street. B streets go much further west. They go up to Mirror Lake. A streets are much more concentrated in what we would think of as kind of the core of downtown. But what's really interesting is these metrics were made a long time ago, way before the growth that we have seen in downtown St. Pete. And one of the reasons we're here is we think they're a bit out of date and need to be updated.
Karen, can I just add?
I think, for
somebody who doesn't know a lot of technical terms or know a lot about land use zoning, you can kind of think of it this way. A streets are things that are fun to walk down already. Central Ave, Beach Drive, as Mac mentioned. B streets are streets that don't feel particularly lively. They don't feel super fun. They're just kind of boring streets. You can walk down them, but there's no real reason to go that way unless you're just in a real hurry and you want to run. But the A streets are streets that are active. B streets are a lot less active.
B streets are boring.
B equals boring in this case, just in this case.
So which B streets are you proposing to change to A streets, and what makes those particular streets good candidates for the change?
Okay, so I've got the map pulled up right here just so I don't misstate it. So, for example, a lot of what people would think of as an increasingly core part of the downtown are First Ave North and First Ave South. But as soon as you get west of 5th Street in downtown, those streets go from an A street to a B street. It's actually, depends on which block you are on. It's not just an entire corridor that's designated A or B. Some of the more interesting projects being developed in downtown are going along those corridors because Central Avenue is mostly built out already. So as growth radiates, especially north and south of Central Avenue, so I would say from 2nd Ave South all the way up to 2nd Avenue North, things like the southern portion of MLK as well. Right now, only the northern portion of MLK is an A street. And really taking the Central Avenue vibe that we have and trying to recreate that along 1st Ave North, 1st Ave South, and potentially even 2nd Ave South and 2nd Ave North where appropriate.
I'll just say there's a practical reason for this also, and that is that retail has gotten really expensive on Beach Drive and Central Ave, and that's because it's a dynamic corridor where people want to be. So I think the idea is if we're able to expand where retail is available because developers have to build it there, that should lower the price for retail spaces on Central and on Beach and just provide a lot more opportunities for local retail. That's really the driving force behind this. In addition to making a more dynamic pedestrian experience, it's about how do we make it affordable for local retailers to be able to afford their spaces. And it's a supply and demand issue at this point.
So what would residents actually notice if these streets would change from B to A? I hear you saying, like, not entrances to garages and that kind of thing. So it would be more stores, dog groomers, restaurants?
All the above. So I'll give you an example, which I love because it says so much about downtown St. Pete's health. If you look at the number of restaurants and shops that we have in downtown St. Pete, and then you look at the population of the city of St. Petersburg, certainly the downtown area, we have far, far too many compared to most cities, which seems kind of counterintuitive, but it's one of the things we all, if subconsciously, love about the downtown, just how many options there are just within a coherent walking distance. My cousins live in Clearwater. They come into downtown St. Pete almost every weekend. They typically don't have a venue picked out for where they want to go. They park in one of the garages, maybe the new one in the Edge District or somewhere closer to downtown, and they just start walking down Central. If this project is successful over the next 10, 15, 20 years and we get these reforms passed, I would love to see people do the same thing on 1st Ave North, 1st Ave South, 2nd Ave. All these other corridors could be activated in the same way Central does. It's not going to happen overnight, and that's important to understand. It's only as new construction comes in, but it will happen over time if we keep on this trajectory. It's how do you want to harness all that growth that is coming and make sure that we're planning for the future in these future corridors.
So it sounds like changing these streets is going to affect downtown's businesses, the restaurants, the retail, housing, just overall pedestrian activity.
That's the idea.
That's the idea. I will mention, too, and Mac does some development. You're a prominent developer. This isn't something developers are super excited about. Like, a lot of stuff the Downtown Partnership proposes is in tandem with developers. We think that this is the right thing for the community, even though a lot of developers will not like this particular idea that we've come up with.
Yeah, I've gotten a bit of flack from some friends, put it that way. But this is just one of those things that it's what I said earlier. Developers, they can be really good at one thing. And building out a retail space, you often don't make a lot of money on it, especially compared to, say, building more apartments. But it's the right thing to do for the city over the long run. I think most developers get that, even if it's painful in the short term.
And in the long run, their apartments or condos or whatever they're building will be more valuable because it'll be a more of a vibrant, dynamic city, even though for their specific project, it's a little bit more of a hassle for them to figure out how to do retail, successful retail, in addition to whatever their major business is.
So I've talked to a few friends about this because we've had conversations about this recently, right? And one of the things that came up was pedestrian and cyclist safety. Like, would changing the designation improve safety? Would additional physical changes need to be made into the streets? Like, What's your take on that?
So I think that you would want to pair a program like this or a reform like this with pedestrian safety improvements. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Like, I keep talking about First Ave North, First Ave South. Well, I'm sure most of the people listening to this have tried to cross those streets on a busy afternoon. Not a pleasant experience. Mm-hmm. There are things we can do, building out raised crosswalks, for example, better pedestrian signaling, wider protected bike lanes. All of that would ideally be paired with these types of reforms, and it's a virtuous cycle. The safer you feel as a pedestrian walking down these corridors, mm-hmm. the more readily you're going to want to frequent the businesses mm-hmm. on that corridor. So mm-hmm. they come hand in hand.
So you're making me think of Queens Boulevard. I used to call it the Boulevard of Death.
Yeah.
It was so hard to cross that street.
I was on
street.
Jackson Avenue for a while in Long Island City. It's not fun. I get it.
It's really scary sometimes. So the problem, I guess, that you're trying to solve with this is to give these B streets more pedestrian activity and more just in general businesses and that kind of thing. What would a successful outcome look like for the downtown residents? Like 10 years down the road, what do you see?
I go back to that vision I gave you where my cousins, instead of just driving downtown and walking up and down Central, they say, hey, why don't we try 2nd Ave? Why don't we try 1st Ave and see what all the new cool spots have opened up there? When we've created that sense of place, where you don't need to necessarily, and there's this expression we call destination retail. Mm-hmm. Something like a dentist, right? You're typically not walking by a dentist's office going, ah, I need a teeth cleaning. I'm going to walk in off of the street. Mm-hmm. Destination retail doesn't necessarily need to be along these heavily pedestrian traffic corridors. Things like restaurants, maybe dog grooming as an mm-hmm. example. All these more kind of, oh, well, spontaneously, I'm going to walk in. I want to see those types of uses infill along these corridors, and I want to create that sense of place along them where people think they can just arrive on this corridor, walk it, and know they're going to find something to pique their interest that night.
I think a secondary benefit, not just from the user's experience, although it'll affect the user's experience, is keeping costs lower for local businesses.
Yeah.
So, you know, one of the challenges we have, as we mentioned, is we've got limited retail offerings. And when that happens, the landowners, and I can't blame them for it, they say, well, how much money can I possibly get for this space? I'm going to jack the rates up as much as I can because we've clearly got a dynamic product. We've got people walking by. And that tends to price out a lot of local businesses and especially a lot of startup, small, creative businesses. As Mac mentioned earlier, one of the things that I think is so special about downtown St. Pete is you have all these unique, weird, funky businesses that you can't find anyplace else. So hopefully by expanding the number of retail offerings, there's sort of this cycle where people might get priced off of Central Ave at some point. Wouldn't it be great if they could go one block over and find something very affordable that's still in the neighborhood? Mm-hmm. They don't have to go farther afield. They can stay close to downtown, close to their customer base. And part of it is, how do we create a climate or an ecosystem where retail is always thriving and there's always a place for somebody with a good idea, a good product, good marketing to be successful in our downtown?
Mm-hmm. I'll actually quantify that. So a great article came out today in the Business Journal about St. Pete and in particular Central Avenue and the impact Central Avenue has had on downtown St. Pete. It's very timely, actually. Mm-hmm. And one of the brokers who was interviewed for the article does a lot of leasing along Central Avenue said that rates, even on the eastern portions of Central Avenue now, are getting up to $60 per square foot. That's not just a doubling of where it was when I got to St. Pete about 10 years ago. It's almost a trebling in some areas. Mm-hmm. So this isn't just like an idea that we're trying to solve theoretically. It is here right now, mm-hmm. and businesses are shuttering faster and faster, in part as a result of this. With what we've seen on apartments, as high as apartment rents are, and as big of a problem as that is, they've actually come down or flattened apartment rental rates over the past 2 years. That's because we've built thousands of them at the same time. We're taking the same principle and trying to apply it to retail.
Well, it sounds like you've spent a lot of time thinking about how you can...
Mac's just really smart. Yeah. Mac's just really, really smart.
Yeah,
I
agree with you on that.
Yeah.
So, well, thanks for sharing this idea. Where are you going to go from here with this?
We got advice from the city. We needed to talk to you and your uh-huh. colleagues with okay. the Downtown Neighborhood Association, with uh-huh. the Downtown Business Association. We've got a lot of ideas. And one of the things that I actually like about the partnership, the Downtown Partnership, is we try to think ahead. We try to think where we're going to be in 5 years or 10 years or 20 years and what steps can we take now to enhance the things that we love about this place. So that's really what this is we're saying, okay, right now, We mark this moment in time. We do a lot of measuring of how things are going, and we say, based on that, what do we want to prepare for? Mm-hmm. And so that's really what we're trying to do, is shop it around, get people's take on it. You've improved it. You've had good ideas, Karen, and have made changes to what we've proposed. Other people will do the same thing. Mm-hmm. There may be some unintended consequences we may not be aware of, and people say, hey, don't forget about this, or if you add this in, it'll make it stronger. That's really the stage we're in right now. Mm-hmm. Next stage would be working with the city's administration and with city council to enact some of these changes and move forward. Just, again, with all the things that we're doing, none of them happen overnight. They all take a long time. Mm-hmm. But we're really in the early stages of thinking about this concept. But it's it feels like the right thing to do as we think about the future of our city.
Yeah, I see this as like step one. Like, yep. First you have to get these changes so that you can build those kinds of places on those B streets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
You can't just wave a magic wand and have it all happen. You have to do it incrementally.
Yeah.
The development's happening. You know, mm-hmm. Love it or hate it, these apartments and the condos and all this stuff is coming in. How do we harness that development energy mm-hmm. into something that 10, 15 years from now, we're going to be happy that we required, even right. if right now the developers don't necessarily love it?
I will say this much. I do hear people complain to me because there's like these long walls of garages on some of these streets, right? And because they're B streets, that is allowed.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, and it feels like the time is right. Like, I think it would have maybe been a mistake to have done this 20 years ago. Then you just have blocks and blocks of vacant retail. But because the retail market is so strong, mm-hmm. it makes sense to try to expand retail spaces at this point. One thing can't happen before the other. You really have to sort of do things incrementally. But the time really is right to look at the A streets, B streets, and make some changes there.
Well, thanks for sharing. It's always interesting to hear what the Downtown Partnership has in store for us, because I know how hard you guys work and how many different directions you're going in all the time.
Thank you.
So thanks for being here today. I've been speaking with Mac Feldman of Feldman Equities, also the vice chair of the St. Petersburg Downtown Partnership, and Jason Mathis, the CEO of the Downtown Partnership. This is Karen Carmichael.